gets you the good wife is not the vision you saw. So that you are pleasing to God or you are not. Simple. So all I used to pray, God, search my heart, look at it properly. I open my chest, God, see, cut it, look. If there's any problem, let us see now. Because the wicked woman is the man who is backsliding. God, help me. I am not Hosea. I am not the prophet to go and marry a useless woman. My life is not like that at all. No, it's true. That was the bread I ate. Commit your way unto the Lord who will direct your path. Doesn't mean he will show you where to go. You will find yourself in the correct place. That's all it means. Nobody explained to Joseph by vision and revelation that he was going to go to Egypt. One day he woke up, he was a slave. By evening that day, he was in Egypt. One day, he was a chief servant in somebody's house. A prince in his father's house. He's not a chief servant. One day he was in jail. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Gabriel said, Joseph, Joseph, you don't know anything yet. Are you getting my point? The bread, this was the bread I ate. With that, I said to people, I don't, we said, what kind of woman do you like? I had my criteria, which is very simple. I'm a teacher of the word. I can't marry somebody who does not think I can teach. That one is from day one. You understand what I'm saying? You are preaching, your wife is saying, I beg, finish quick, there are other things that are more important. You know you have failed in life before you started. Are you getting my point? And second, that I have to marry a woman who believes not only I can teach, but I can teach her. You know, that's the funny thing about life. You don't, sometimes you are trying to impress somebody, you don't know what the person really likes, is the opposite of what you are doing. I told you about bread last time. One woman that was buying expensive bread for her husband. Not knowing the man was craving the cheap one. From time, if I'm talking with a woman and she's doing all the revelation sharing, that's why I go, look, I don't have any interest at all. I know this one can't. I can't be sharing at home. You'll be doing all the talking. Which kind of thing is that? I'm the teacher, you're not. You want to show me the revelation you have? Go ahead and share it. I will learn it too. But after that, I go my way. Honest truth. Most men are like that. You ladies better believe what I'm saying. If you know plenty and you suspect your brother is showing interest in you, when he's talking, don't talk. Don't correct him. Look, I'm being honest with you. Don't correct him. Don't show him you know more. If you do that, he won't come back. You have just scared him away. I'm being honest. Look, you may think I'm a mere chauvinist. The fact of life is what I have told you. One day, anyway, don't let me give you too much gist. One day, I was talking, well, I heard a story about two people. One of them I know. And so, they had a problem, a brother and a sister. So, another guy was talking later. I was not talking to another lady who also knows, who knew them. So, I just mentioned that I'm sure what happened was that this girl tried to be the teacher in this relationship. And the girl said yes. That one day this guy just slipped from his mouth. That this said that this girl is always talking as if she knows more. Let me tell you one spiritual truth. If a man gets born again, a young woman gets born again from her mother's womb and lives a righteous and holy life all her life till she's 23 or 25, and marries a man that got born again 3 years ago, who decides to start jacking what? By the time they are married, I'm not joking. Let's assume the guy has been born in just about 4 years and been jacking what? You will be amazed that he will be downloading hotter revelation than she is downloading. I don't care whether she's a core preacher or not. I know what I'm saying. Listen, when God sends you an assignment, he equips you. He's not a foolish person. He knows what he's doing. If he expects you to take leadership in a home, he puts anointing on your head. Ability to understand the word of God is a gift. I mean, God anoints people. I know what I'm saying. Look, absolute fact. He didn't know when he just slipped out of her mouth that this was the guy slipped it out one day. I have noticed anybody, you know, there's one thing you find very common. I'm sorry, sisters, I'm just warning you, okay? I'm not abusing you. I have found that a lot of very spiritual sisters have problems with brothers. I'm not joking. They do. The mistake is simple. You know the funny thing about the spiritual is they lie. When they lie down at night too, they are craving the hug of a man. I'm telling you the truth. This spiritualism thing. Kiss me. I'm telling you the truth. Hey! There are times Holy Spirit will depart when it's night to go and sleep. He too goes to rest somewhere. All the pious look is in the afternoon. I'm telling you, look at the way John is doing face as if what I'm saying is not the truth. I'm telling you the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Look, listen. I have related with spiritual men and women. When you forget, you leave pulpits and you leave public gathering and you sit down. And you know, somebody like me, the first time my wife visited me in my friend's house in Benin, she went back to go and tell her friend that, I think this guy, something's wrong with him. Because, you know, she knew me as Pastor Bangi, you know, Pastor Bangi. So she expected that she would see me say, oh, hello, God bless you, you're welcome. Oh, please take a seat. You heard me say, hey, your car, what's happening there, man? Give me five. Ah! She was looking like, come. I thought supposed to be Pastor Bangi. No, maybe. If you don't like the gospel I'm preaching, you can go away. If you come saying, yo, give me five. That's what is offending you. I like it like that. Me, I don't have any pretenses. I say, look, I just live my life simply. Usually when you meet the spiritual people, after you relating with them like that for two or three occasions, then they too, they loosen up and you realize that all this spirituality is a bondage. No, I'm telling you, bondage, trying to show that they are, look, bros, don't tell your friends, don't be intimidated by any woman's spirituality. It's only that face. It doesn't go beyond there at all. Inside the heart, all of them are the same thing. Do you get my point? Look, it's God that judges men's hearts. David was a very useless boy by everybody's standard. His brothers told him, we know the kind of person that you are. You have come and look at what is going on. The pastor can be telling stories later. What is it that you are looking for? The guys, I have only asked the questions. Hey, that's how you asked questions last year. Look at what happened. That's how you asked questions the other battle. But God said, this is a man after my heart. God is not looking for a spiritual face at all. Anyway, like I said, these are side trips. It's important we all know it. You get my point? Look, guys, if you want to change a sister that's very spiritual, forget it. Don't try and be deep. Don't quote a scripture when you get there. Go there and say, hey, baby, how are you doing? Let her know that you are very carnal. For your information, she will love you more than all the hyper-spiritual brothers around, because everybody wants excitement in life. look, you hear what I'm telling you? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help all of us. God. Do you get my point? Anyway, so like I was saying, look, if as a young woman, look, when a man is talking and you're a single person, just piously listen. When he has said one and you have said three, just know the guy is going to take the next exit. You won't see him again. In fact, one of my friends told me that time he was actually searching for a wife. There was a lady he met once. He found that he thought he was a talker, that he knew how to talk. That for everything he said, this guy had three things to say. After that, I said, man, this is not the way forward. I don't know, I can't live with a woman that talks him down, that she wore him out with talk. God bless you. Please, how did I get here? You know, I can't take some of these tight trips. Yes, good. So, look, you know what every person needs? Both men and women. Okay, so I was saying that the word I ate, though, that helped me choose a wife was very simple. God, he said, houses and riches are from the fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord. That is, God will give that prudent wife to just give it to you. You cannot plan it. You know, I have seen people who went on several days fast to choose a wife. It still failed. Look, you know, I did a teaching here, walking in the will of God. You don't discern God's will at crisis points. No. Like, God, look at me. 5 men are saying, I should marry them at the same time. What can I do? What shall I do? Every voice you hear is a voice of your society, of your own heart. Evil spirits, all kinds of voices will confuse you. If you want to, I told you, the will of God is a lifestyle. You walk in it all the time. At that point, marry the one you like. Don't have to go and do shimo, pray about it. If you have been walking habitually in God's will, God told Abimelech, You made a mistake. You took a wrong woman. Say, Lord, you know I wouldn't do it normally. Say, that's why I'm correcting you. That's how God is. If you are making a mistake which is not normal to you, he will correct. I remember one bro was teasing his sister once. All right, so somebody said, I want that. This is another person talking to the brother's friend. The lady was telling his friend. He said, I'm wondering what God will say this brother did wrong that he will allow him to marry that girl. That was it. Yes, sir. That no, we're waiting. Let God come and demonstrate to us the sin he has committed. That is, even when you can't see, God will say, that is not the way forward. He will put his thought there. Are you getting my point? That was what I understood. So I had no fear at all. It is not as if I knew I would speak. I would pray and God would show me a vision and I would know this is God's counsel. Nothing like that. I used to say, I can see vision and the vision will be wrong. I didn't see vision anyway, but I could have seen and the vision would be wrong. Only thing I know is that day when they say, I pronounce you man and wife, I will finally look at who it is. So, okay, so it is you. You are the will of God. I told you, one brother asked me, did God speak to you about your wife? I said, he did. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. That was the voice of God. When the high priest prophesied, did he not say he prophesied being high priest? Because you are privileged to be wedding this man of God. Then you are, the spirit of prophecy came upon you to pronounce the word of God, man and wife. It was the bread carried me through last season. I'm being honest with you. I told God as much. If you have to break my leg so I will not get to the wedding, do it. But this life, I am a great man that has been born. I can't die average. And it's critical I don't marry a useless woman. It's true. Are you getting what I'm trying to make? That before a man, a young woman, want to get married, download the word from above. The bread for that. So that when the devil speaks, tries to, you see, all women are useless. You say, not the one I married, except I'm backsliding. It's simple. That is the shield of faith. That is, why did I marry yourself? I will answer myself. Because you were the best woman on earth. In the anger, that is, I'm angry, I'm wondering why I married you. I will still answer in my heart because there was no one better on the surface of this earth to fit my person and God's counsel for my life. Shield of faith. Listen, it doesn't mean you know how to make a marriage work. That's why I read that scripture, Mark chapter 4. It doesn't mean that, yes, I know, you know, you don't talk to a woman on the right side of the house at 12 midnight. You should have to go back to the left side. All those things I have told you. They may be good principles, but they are secondary. Don't waste time on them. What I know is that there is a word from heaven. It has power. Let me tell you about the word of God. It said, the word of God is alive and is active. Do you know what that means? That is, if this door is meant to be closed, and because God's word said, at 12 midnight it shall be closed, and nobody goes there at 11:59, 11:59, 45 seconds later, the word of God will crystallize into a hand and close it. Alive and active. That's what it means. That is, the word of God does not just give instructions. It gives enablement. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That God spoke to Jeremiah, Ezekiel. He says, stand on your feet. I want to talk to you. When Jeremiah couldn't get up, he said, the spirit entered into me and carried me up to my feet. That's God's word. Never read it? He said, God said, I fell because of the impact, the weight of the glory I was beholding. Then out of that glory, the voice of God came and said, stand up, I want to talk to you. When the man was struggling, the spirit entered into him and lifted him and put him upon his feet. Listen, that Americans are getting divorced every day and we are not doing like that here does not mean that we know more about marriage than they do. There is a spirit in man. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a way. There's, look, God's word, I'm telling you, a woman will say, I am leaving this house, and she can't get past the door. She won't know why. Because the marriage was founded on a bread from heaven. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, for the next 40 days, he said, eat this bread. There's enough energy in it to carry you. And God said, Jesus told the disciples, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, the word that is applying for this next season is not the one I'll use for the one to come. When, look, there is a word with which I go into business. There is a word with which I go into ministry. There is a word with which I go into civil service. Whatever be what you want to do. Before you go, God gives you a word. And that word guides you. Let me tell you, before you endeavor on anything, you are changing career. There is that word. That, look, it's not true. God spoke the same thing to Abraham. Every time he encountered Abraham, it's a repetition. Walk before me and be perfect. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. No. Everything else is added to that. Don't worry about the Eliezer of Damascus. He will not be your heir. There is another one that will be born out of your loins. The same word all the time. Abraham didn't have anybody teaching him history, exegesis, isogogics, whatever, hermeneutics, all those things. Nobody was teaching Abraham. Everywhere he went, there was one word. Isaac. He was just known by his reverent fear of God. That was all that carried him. Simple. That is many. I'm telling you the truth. You are going into... Let me use marriage as an example. Before you step in, you understand from the scriptures the aim of this thing. And God explains to you that, listen, one which is 1,000, two which is 10,000. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You are one, she's the other, I'm the third. That's what God is saying. I'm the third piece of the cord. A man eats that and goes into marriage. So anybody that fights against you will fall because of you. May not be your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, or your father or your mother. Have to be interceding for them, for God not to kill them on your behalf. I'm telling you the truth. You know, there are some myths of concerning marriage. God's been chewing in my mouth for a long time. I used to see people say that I have a problem with my in-law. I said, I can't have a problem with my in-law. It's not possible. My wife can never have problems with my people. It's not possible. I said, why? I said, you don't understand. If it happens, then I'm at fault. She's not having a problem with my in-laws, with her in-laws. She's having a problem with me. I said, because if my mother comes to my house and she and my wife disagrees, and my wife is wrong, very wrong, and I think she's wrong, I will tell my mother to go home. Do you hear what I said? That my wife is wrong, and I'm aware that she's wrong. But since I cannot marry my mother, now what can I do? So, mom, you know the way things are right now. I think it's better you go and meet daddy at home. Two of you are husband and wife. This is my own husband and wife situation. All right, let me just tackle my problems. As for now sitting down and crossing legs. Don't mind her, mommy. Look, last week, look at what she did. The other week. Look, listen, as far as your mother is concerned, you are the righteous one. Your spouse is evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? No matter what, look. I have seen people that they are visibly wrong. Their parents can't see it. Adults, 40-year-old person and the mother. Everybody is looking like, mommy, are you blind? Can't you see that your child, your daughter is the one that is crazy? You can't see it. I read a joke somewhere once. Somebody said, one woman was saying that, they said that parents never say anything wrong with their children. A woman was talking. He said, if there's anything wrong with my own children, I will see it too. Just that there's nothing wrong with them. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. But I understood from God, the two shall become one. What God has joined together, no father or mother, cousin, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, anything, put asunder.
So,
though the person God joined with me is wrong, but you are the one that want to effect judgment by putting that asunder. I beg, back in that direction. This is not your house. So when I say, hey, my in-laws, my somebody's in-law, I am looking like this. I was sitting there, one woman came. All you young men, when you want to marry, I am warning you, be sure you know the house she's coming from. After that, I said, auntie, relax, relax. That is not necessary. I am the master of my house when I finally marry. All this rake you are raking, I didn't tell her that portion. You should have held your husband and told him that you are not doing your work. Because that morning, her mother-in-law just annoyed her. So she came to vent the anger in council. You know, those kind of funny council, better don't receive them when they come. Are you getting my point? I'm just saying that there is a bread that a man eats. And that bread will carry him. It will be the strength with which you face all challenges. Do you understand my point? Look, a man goes into a place, he does not have that bread here. That is why he fails. Before they know what's happening, he has joined the world in doing everything like Demas. Forsakes the gospel. Falls in love with the current age. It is because he didn't have bread to eat. Look, you know what? You know, one day I studied and I found out why Moses died when he died. It's funny. But the bread God gave him before he started ministry, the bread finished. Let me just summarize it like that. The bread finished. It finished. You know, I was telling you something. Because as a person, I'm learning a discipline. You know, maybe you want to start out a ministry, you're full, you know, like full, you want to bust, you want to rupture. You think that's the way it should be forever. You are leaking bit by bit. Every time you preach, you leak something. It's a fact. It's a fact. Every time you preach, you leak something. And when the thing is finishing, the man begins to misbehave. That is that sharing nonsense. Is that saying, yes, I hear a preacher, he's chopping money, he's chasing women. What nobody remembered to tell him, or he didn't say, did not know, that he should have taken a break when his strength was becoming weak. He should go back home and go and eat again. For Moses, God gave him plenty of food, loaded him full. He used to see God occasionally. At a point in time, his energy finished. God is just. If you understand God's ways, look, anything he does, you just like this, Baba God, he knows what he's doing. Moses sinned how many times? Once. And God did not forgive him. Did you ever wonder? Great intercessor. Others will air great error. Do you understand what I mean? Great error. They will build a calf. God will say, let me judge them for worshiping other gods. Moses said, oh God, relax now. I beg. Say, well, enough for you, Moses. He said, I know sinner for me. All he did was God said, do it like this. He did it the other way. And still did the same thing. No, he wanted water. And he still told them that God is their source. They know. And God said, Moses, you did not honor me before the people. You know what's going to happen? You enter the promised land. And Moses begged. And God said, don't bring the matter up before me again. I know, I used to wonder. This is harsh judgment. Until I understood. That was God's mercy. No, really. God just looked. Told the angels around. Moses is tired. He's tired. That was why he did that. If God looked at, I know Moses. He doesn't make such mistakes. He's tired. So he came down and said, Moses, come. Moses said, please, Moses, you don't get the point. Come home. All God just knew that Moses is tired. That's what God was saying. It was, it's not judgment, it's mercy. Look, if God had left him another year, another 10 years, he would build a calf. I'm telling you the truth. He will build a calf and God will forgive him. And you will know his tiredness. That's why the Bible says that the righteous man perishes, that he dies. Nobody takes it to heart. You don't get the point. Something serious is happening. That's why a righteous man will just go like that. He said he has entered into his rest. Is that not what he said? It was mercy. God took Moses for mercy's sake. That, Moses, you have tried. If I might say this, the same thing he did to Paul. Paul got tired and weary. Began to shave his hair. Began to enter the temple. God said, you will disgrace me for nothing. Put him in a cage. They literally dropped him in a cage where he had no will anymore. Couldn't go where he wanted. Whisked him out of town. His bane was his passion for Israel. I see it every day on TV. Brethren who are missing God and worshiping the land of Israel. I see it every day. I was watching another one today. The prophecies, I said, shut up. That is not the Jerusalem prophecy is talking about. God just looked at Moses, Paul. Said, Paul, you don't try. All the one we will labor over the last few decades. You want to wreck it because my passion for Israel is that they should be saved. Come home, my friend. But you write one or two letters of before you come. Put him in a cage. Drop him in a cage. After that, they removed his head. It was mercy. May God have mercy on Peter and James. The first pope. May God have mercy on him. That guy was going to lead Paul astray. I'm telling you the honest truth. It's not his fault. Anyway, don't let's digress too much. Energy got finished. Paul was weary. And let me tell you the truth. It's not as if they did bad. That is what it means when they are being poured forth. Which kind of offering they call it again? Is it a meal offering? I'm just being poured forth like an offering before God. This is why I say that Moses literally gave his life for the nation of Israel. He died for their sake. He would have even died earlier were it not for Jethro. Jethro, God sent him. That boy would die for nothing. I'm explaining about the bread that is the strength that carries a man. Everybody needs a bread to enter every season. That is the word with which you will, when the devil sends one arrow, parry it, quench the fire. It is written. Every time they came to Jesus, that's all he ever said. It is written. He understood that word. It is written. Let us get food. He said, there is one food that a man can't do without. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. There is a bread that comes forth from the mouth of God. When you eat it, it carries you through every season. Do you get my point? It is not just, look, I've always said that. I don't know. I can't go to America. You know why? God has not given me the revelation to preach to them. I don't know about their tax system. I don't know how to deal in stocks. And I don't know their, you know, there is a bread Nigerians need. There's a bread young people need that I'm serving. If I get to America, it doesn't make sense. Honestly, you know, this is, if I say this something like that, like a joke. You send me tickets now. They come and preach for us. I say, who are the people listening? Say, businessmen in New York. I won't go. I don't know who they are. He said, they'll give you bigger than them. Don't worry. I'm not hungry here. I'll manage the food I'm eating right now. We said, Nigerians who are lost and sleeping on the streets there. Okay, I'll go and preach to them to come back home. That there's a place for them here. No, it's not everybody you have a message for. I say, minister, I want to kill them. They want to go and preach abroad. I say, for who now? Most of the ones that go from here preach to Nigerians. What word do you have for the European man that you don't know his problem? God has not given you a bread to serve him. You can't meet his needs. When you talk, your word bounce back in his face. It bounce off from his face. It's not like you're not speaking the word of God, but it's not bread to him. You get the point I'm making? You get the point I'm making? I was saying something about the word of God. That look, once you speak that word forth, it is not as if you will try. No. The circumstances will conform to the spoken word. Do you hear what I said? That is, in fact, there's one example I want to give you. Who chose David as king over Israel? No, I mean, who's the person? About God in heaven, right? Good. He told who? Samuel. Let me ask you a question. Did he ever announce to the whole of Israel? Never. 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 Let me ask you a question. Who chose Samuel as judge over Israel? God. Did anybody ever anoint Samuel? Did they ever announce him? No. You know, it's recently I was reading it, and it dawned on me that, look, it's an assumption. You just assume that everybody knew that David was anointed to replace Saul. No. The only people that knew were Jesse and his sons, and anybody else they chose to tell. And Samuel, of course. It was a private arrangement in the backyard. It was clear the king was not meant to hear. God joined Samuel in disguising the event. They asked him, why have you come? I came to sacrifice to the Lord. I called Jesse aside. Hapha, where are your children? This is the point I'm coming to. But the whole of Israel gathered and told David, even while Saul was alive, you are the one that used to lead us here and there. You will be our king. They didn't know God anointed him. Do you get the point I'm making? That's how the word of God works. It is not as if David said, I have been anointed. Who else is trying to be king there? Go and kill him. I am the one. No. The man just did as occasion served him. He went out one day. He saw battle. He fought his own portion. One day they called him, come to the king's presence. Simple. Then king said, this boy is getting too popular for me. He never knew David was anointed. He tried to kill him. And David kept rolling. The after Saul died. The point I'm making to you is this. When God's word goes forth, it plays out events by itself. You don't need to try. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? If you look at it, there was nowhere until this point after Saul had died that anybody gathered to recognize David's anointing except for his exploits. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. The mistake Jeroboam was making was, if this will go back to go and worship now, God will now take away the kingdom. He said, look, if God wants to take it away anytime, he will take it away anytime. That was just the error. You didn't beg him. He gave it to you. What's your problem? What's your aggro? You want to now die there? So he began to build fake gods all over the place. Now the point I'm making is that they said, take up the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. If God speaks to you that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, doesn't mean you have to be a businessman overnight. Do you get my point? It just means abide in that calling wherewith you were called. If I'm standing here when I hear that word, you know what happened? Tomorrow I'm back here. The following day, I will continue. In fact, I will start talking louder. Go and get bigger speakers so that they can hear me all the way in governor's house from here. That is all. That is all. It's not like, well, what has come? We should block this place, you know. This place will become the store of money. We should hire 2 cashiers. And what should you start selling? GSM. Start selling. Once that stuff with GSM, we'll go to flour. After flour, I hear cement is selling now. God said, look, listen. I knew you were a preacher when I told you that. When they anointed David king, what did he go to next day? Back to the shepherd. To the shepherd's fold, the sheepfold. He continued his shepherd's job. The word of God is like a seed a man sows into the ground. Once he has sowed it, you should forget it. Do you get my point? When we're talking about God's champion, now the guy is going there harassing everybody. If God made him a policeman to change the police force, he probably goes early in the morning and walks gently around and drops the word of God all over the environment. When Jeremiah began to prophesy, you know, men began to die. He didn't kill anybody. He did buy an arrow. God says the Lord. Somebody just collapsed and died. Ah, Jeremiah said, what is going on? Like God said, you're prophesying now. You don't know that these things are dangerous. God says the Lord. And somebody collapsed there and died. God said, hey, Jeremiah, like, what are you doing? You want to kill everybody? He said, okay, you have not seen anything yet. It's by this prophecy that we kill everybody. When you prophesy enough, you know what he told them? When he was going to finish the book of Jeremiah, He prophesied the doom of Babylon. And said, when you get there, read it over Babylon and throw it to the bottom of the river. That is, we don't have to spread the news. We're not trying to persuade anybody. Throw the thing to the bottom of the river. Don't make propaganda out of the prophecy. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Don't go photocopying and say, God has said Babylon is coming down. Guys, let us gather arms. You know, when I say all this, my confused brethren, let's now come and build a temple in Jerusalem because God has said that he's going to come back to Jerusalem. Oh, foolish Israelites. Their folly has not departed from thee even after I accepted Jesus Christ. Most of them are Jews. Don't confuse him. Anyway, I mean, don't let me get distracted. Jeremiah was saying, don't go around photocopying the prophecy, trying to persuade somebody that this is going to happen, so we should all join forces. Look at the word of God. The word of God as Jeremiah, Babylon is coming. He said, wait, just read it. When you are finished reading it, let me just show you where it is. The last one of the book of Jeremiah, he gave to his secretary, Sariah, what is his name again? He said, when you get there, read it over Babylon. Chapter 51, verse 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity which will come upon Babylon. That is, all these words which have been written concerning Babylon. All these ones you have read here. Then Jeremiah said to Sariah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud and say, thou, O Lord, has promised concerning this place to cut it off, so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast. And it will be a perpetual desolation. And it will come about as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates, that's the river, and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again, and all that, and all that. The point I'm making is that the word has been spoken. And like somebody said, you know the idea of prophesying? He says, so that there will be a physical arrangement to conform to that of the heavenly order. That is what God has done in the heavens. You prophesy on earth so that the earth begins to arrange according to those words. Do you get my point? That is, we're talking about God's champion. Through you, God is going to change things. I don't mean that you'll get and I'm going to hire a gun and say, all of you wicked men here, I'm going to shoot you down. I've been this man will say, what's his name? Kaman. I've been authorized and deputized to, you know, bring out the gun. Satan, by the dust. That was a film or that was music. In real life, you don't get the gun and shoot Satan. You've been to church where they shoot the devil before? You've not seen it before? You say, no, they do it in church, on churches. Though. I'm not saying it's bad, but you just do it on churches. Yeah. Cock your gun and shoot the devil. And the people can start shooting. I'm serious. Serious. Kick the devil. Forget. It's not by power or by might. And I hope you get my point. No. The sword of the spirit. I talked about the shield of faith. Every word the devil says that you will die is a lie. I will live. He said, the body may be subject to death but because of sin. He said, but the spirit has given it life because of righteousness. I have been forgiven of my sins. I told you what Terry Mize, what Jackie told Terry when he married her. He said, they say I can't have children. I said, who said so? Doctor, I said, forget. Doctor, don't know nothing. I think she has 3 or 4 kids. Terry just said, don't worry. The doctor does not know anything. You are quoting what the doctor said. I know what God said. He said, mark the righteous man. Say, his seed shall be great upon the earth. I'm a righteous man. I've been blessed by God. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I am a man of God. That is a man that is of God. You know what I mean? That God made this man. Said, doctor can't tell me anything and I agree with it. As a shield of faith. Sword of the Spirit said, yes. He said to me, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. I cut the head of poverty. Words, though, not fight. Not like now. What is the fastest business strategy? Because the word of God has come. No. They tell you, you can't do that business in Kaduna. There is a cartel. He said, good. I have been anointed to pull down and to break down. I prophesy against this cartel, you will fall. If I buy a stone, look for a river and throw it inside also. Thus shall this cartel go down. Thus says the Lord. I'm a man of God. I have said it. That is the sword of the Spirit. And just lie back and be watching. The earth, he said, by itself produces. One day you hear, say, Elijah and Elijah, they quarrel. Hey, go and fight. One day, after some time, Lazuki is in Jalingo on exile. This is how it goes. Those days, you know, before Abacha removed the Dasuki, we thought Sokoto, the Emir of Sokoto, untouchable. Then God said, I have anointed him to remove the Emir of Sokoto. And you look, it's a pity that, no, it's not really a pity. We have enough information in the scriptures. But there are things that you see openly. If you go behind and see the spiritual transactions that are happening, that maybe they just removed a man as minister. If God opens your eyes and allow you to see the person you offended who prophesied to him that it won't last 24 hours after that day, you will be surprised. You know, the example I like giving is the day Christians in Lagos prayed against the violence that was in that city. And when God was going to answer, he sent Buba Marwa. All the Christians did was pray. And Buba Marwa carried guns and went after the violent men and eradicated all of them. I'm explaining this to you so that when it's time to prophesy, if it is NEPA you want to pray about, don't lose heart. They don't have to appoint you as MD of NEPA. If your job is that of Jeremiah, prophesy, then God will raise up Cyrus as a consequence of your prophecy. Do you understand my point? Who will now go in, turn things around? Hey, don't worry. If I have taken it upon myself now, after discussing with Pastor yesterday about some things, I said, no, henceforth, Nigerian courts and Nigerian police, they're my projects. Let every man that will stand against justice and equity, let him fall. In the name of Jesus, these people are supposed to be law enforcement agents. Father, I pray that law will stand in this country, and every man that wears the uniform of an enforcer that's breaking it, destroy him. Then one day you just wake up, a new IG has come, sacks everybody above a particular age. You won't understand what happened. No, it's my new project. It's my new project. Watch out. That every day, at least one statement I will make in that direction. Because what annoyed me was that one lady pastor in my church was detained because somebody doesn't like her. And robbers attacked him and he claimed it was her. He knew it wasn't. The policeman knew that it's not. I said, this is why Jesus said we should pray, deliver us from evil. That this is what it means when he said truth has stumbled in the streets. And that the policemen detaining her themselves said that they know it is not true. Look, I'm praying that brethren will become very wicked and violent like me. So that when you get there, when they finish like that, everybody that knows it is not true had better confess openly against the judgment I'm about to pronounce. Because everybody that walked to my house to arrest me or lock a gate against me, may he never see prosperity in his life as long as I stay here. Except you stand up openly and say, sir, I am sorry, I'm only obeying orders. You deliver yourself. Then next, the commissioner will die. And next time, they say, arrest that person. You heard he's a Christian. Say, please, last commissioner, this was what killed him. He said, when thy judgments are in the earth, O God, the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. The mercy of God endure upon them that fear him. Not those who look at this and say, oh, guy, I know it's not you, but if you don't produce 50,000 naira, you won't leave here. In fact, that one, 50,000, I said, good, that is the price of your life and that of your first son, except he's a believer. To kill you, I will produce it and give it to you. I say, eat it and die. I don't have anything against you, but the people around you, I know you have been set up as an example. So when you have died, they will say, pastor killed him. Next time I'm passing, pastor, sir, you're welcome, sir. Nisha, you know what that means? May we not offend you? I say, you know, very good. And you know God is in this town. one of bishops, Bishop Oedipus, lieutenant then, one of his bishops now. My friend said they used to call the guy Kill and Go. I used to be the bishop in Maiduguri, the pastor in Maiduguri. Everybody was afraid of him. They called him Kill and Go. If you offend him, he will curse you. And you will die. No, not publicly. Everybody was afraid of the fellow. They call him Kill and Go. My brethren, next time I will say this thing I wanted to say next. We'll talk about that next time. But simple, the bread, like I said, is a prayer. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer. Father, I'm going into this. There is a word I need. Give it to me. Do you understand? Let us pray.